Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Sound Radar, Games Radar's video game music and audio podcast. I'm your host, Sophia Tong, and today I'm joined by industry veteran composer Chris Hielsbeck. Welcome, Chris. Thanks for joining me.
Hi, Sophia. It's really nice to be on.
And now, Chris, you've been working in the video game industry a long time, more than 25 years, I believe, starting back in the Commodore 64 days. And you've worked on the Great Gianna Sisters, Star Wars Rogue Squadron, and the Turrican series, which is what we're going to actually talk about today. But first, for those who may not know you as well, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got into the video games industry.
Yeah, I started as a teenager just playing music on my own, and was always fascinated by electronic music, but I couldn't afford a synthesizer. So when the Commodore 64 came out, which had a synthesizer sound chip built in, that was the machine that I wanted to have. And then I started to program. First, I wanted to be a game designer, but I wasn't as good. But my music stuff was taking off, and I actually won a contest in a magazine. And I was just like 17 at the time, and I got a job offer at a German games company. And that's how I started my career.
Wow. So it's great that the industry is kind of turning to Kickstarter to get projects funded. So tell us a little bit about your Kickstarter, the Turrican Soundtrack Anthology. What does it entail?
Right, so the thing is, I released the soundtrack album for the Turrican series of games in the in 1993, and that was just one CD. But we have here at least three, four, five games if you count the console versions as well. And so I had to make do with the selection back then. And for a while now, for a number of years, I was thinking we have to do a second edition or something like that. And in fact, next year would be the 20th anniversary of that album. And up until late last year, I didn't think I could make something like that happen because I couldn't do it on the side. I mean, I have to live, I have to work. Mm-hmm. So it would have to be a full-time job, and I didn't know how we would be able to finance that. So a friend of mine actually got his album financed last year on Kickstarter, and he's like a, you know, one-man band. It's a smaller project, smaller scope, but it gave me the idea of toying around with that idea. And then, yeah, I crunched some numbers. I came up with a concept for it, and I worked it out over the months. And then I saw how Double Fine's project was taking off, and I knew I was on the right track here because there's a lot of video game fans that are turning to this kind of funding way or supporting projects that otherwise couldn't be made.
No, it's great because it seems like a lot of people I've talked to about their Kickstarter projects, like they've had this idea in mind, and this was before Double Fine's thing started. But once they saw that take off, you know, they decided to just jump right in and do it because it is a great environment to do it right now because there are a lot of fans that are willing to support these projects.
Yeah. So it's really exciting, and it's been going exceptionally well. We're now a little bit over a week into the funding campaign, and we have only, I don't know, like 15% to go. Mm-hmm. So we're really close, and it looks really good because there's another 4 or 5 weeks to go. So,
So I'm pretty sure you're confident that you'll meet your number, right? Because as of recording, you have a little less than 10,000 to go.
Exactly. So the funding goal for this project is 75,000, which at first sounds like a huge budget for a CD project, but it's at least three CDs. If we're going over that goal, I even would like to include a fourth CD to really be able to get all the music pieces that I did for the Turrican games in there. And then they're all going to be rearranged and newly produced in my studio. And we even have bonus versions that will be recorded with live orchestra. So that's how this budget came about. And yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It looks now it's really working out. I put a lot on the line to do this. I mean, it could have been really embarrassing if at the end only 20 fans would have pledged something. And I had like 5,000 hours or so, but it really worked out.
Oh, no, that's great. So then you own the rights to your own music, right? Because I know there are some composers who work for companies and they put out a game and they actually can't do much with their music after the fact. Is that true?
Right. Well, this was in the early days in Germany. And also in Germany, you don't give up your copyright anyway.
Mm-hmm.
There's a law against that. But the thing is, I always made my contracts in a way, or I tried at least, to be able to do something with the music outside of the game. So the games company had the rights to use the music forever in their game,
mm-hmm.
and for everything else, marketing, whatever. But this actually enabled me to do soundtrack CDs. And I started that actually in 91 when I released my first album, and have been releasing, I think, 12 or 14 releases in the 2 decades, and I'll keep going at it.
So do you have any other projects that you'd kind of like to do via this method?
I haven't really thought about it yet. I'm putting all my energy into this one, and then we'll see what else there would be. I think there might be something where maybe I could give a little bit of a history of my music, how things came about from the earlier days when I just played my own music on an electronic organ or something like that, and then how it progressed over the years. That might be an interesting thing. But I have nothing planned for after this album right now.
Yeah. You know, you had your start in like electronic music, and even though video game music has evolved quite a bit, and it's like, it seems like you're still very fond of synthesized electronic stuff. And now that games are moving towards live orchestra, like, how do you feel about that? Are you still more fond of electronic, or have you kind of changed your taste as well?
I think both have their place in video games. It all depends on what kind of style supports the gameplay. And I think it's great that the budgets are there now, that you can record live orchestra and bring that Hollywood sound into gaming. That's a great development. But I'm still like very much an electronic guy, and I like the sound of it and the arrangements, and they can be much more elaborate than in the early days. They almost sound like symphonic now, if you will.
Yeah.
So yeah, but it's an exciting time to do music and game sound.
Yeah, there are a lot of indie composers now who are, you know, reverting back to that retro style music. I mean, have you played or listened to some of the stuff?
Right. I think like 2 months ago, there was actually one other Kickstarter project by a Japanese team, and they were highlighting all kinds of indie composers, and that was a really fun thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I mean, if I can give a shout out to Jesper Kidd, the composer of the Assassin's Creed series.
Yeah.
That was really a great soundtrack that was very much a hybrid, and I enjoyed that a lot.
Mm-hmm. So other than this Kickstarter, so what are you working on these days?
Yeah, as usual, I can't talk about the projects that I'm currently working on, but there are some things in the works. But the last few games that I worked on last year, I did The War of the Worlds for mm-hmm. Paramount, which came out on the Xbox Live Arcade.
Yeah.
That was actually also recorded partially with orchestra. There that we recorded over in Macedonia.
Wow.
Because that was the best deal that we got. And that was very much fun. And then I also work on various mobile games, iPhone, iPad productions.
Mm-hmm.
And the best known, I think, is the Zombie Smash series from the Game Doctors. That actually was a very well-sold game.
Do you play a lot of games in your spare time?
I don't have as much time anymore to really delve into the big game franchises. The last thing I played was over Christmas. I had a couple of days and I played Portal 1 and 2 and I enjoyed that a lot. Been a big Valve fan for years. But other than that, mostly like little games that I download to my iPhone or something like that.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot. I mean, that's a booming field and, you know, people are going to need music and the music is starting. You're starting to see the quality in the music for these iPhone games.
Absolutely. I think that is also growing up fast. But I also like that a lot of indie developers had the chance to get into games development through that iOS or Android environment and were able to do things differently and on their own terms and with small teams. That felt a little bit like the earlier days of game development. Mm-hmm. And that's very much fun.
Is that something you prefer? I mean, I don't know if you're a fan of like the big budget, you know, AAA console stuff, or do you actually prefer doing these smaller projects like mobile?
Well, I mean, for one thing, I like that the smaller games, they're like usually relatively quick to do, and you're not sitting there for 1.5 or 2 years working on one thing and tweaking it. Instead, you come up with something, you record it, and you rework it maybe 2 times or something, and then that's that, and you have a nice little project, and that's fun. But I also like the bigger games, of course, because the budgets are there to do something really great, like recording with an orchestra. So they both have their pros and cons.
So for those who are interested in backing your soundtrack anthology, could you talk a little bit about the different pledges that people can do and like the different levels and what you would get from them?
Yeah, so obviously the main thing is that 3+ CD box set that we're planning to do. But there are also other little goodies like posters and t-shirts, and we're creating new artwork for this whole thing. So that could be exciting. And then we also offer a vinyl single that we just announced that will have a retro style remix on there and an original sound from the Amiga computer and stuff like that. So that could be fun. And a lot of personalized things where I sign things. And on the upper levels, there's also some stuff where I'm actually Skyping with people, tell them about the project, and they can ask me about my production techniques and stuff like that.
Yeah, I'm looking at your page right now. It seems like your backers are very generous. A lot of them are donating quite a bit to your project. So it's exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited, and I'm so thankful for my fans that after all these years, they're still supporting me in that way. And that is really good to see.
So what do you think makes a successful Kickstarter?
Yeah, so obviously now with all the excitement that's going on, there are quite a few people who are jumping on the bandwagon. And I thought my campaign through quite a bit. I really made an in-depth analysis and calculation of how I could do this and what I can offer to the people. And you really have to have a product or project that people want to support. And so that's the main thing. And then you have to really think about these different levels that you're offering and, you know, the working out the text and the mock-ups and videos and all that stuff. You can't just like do it from one day to the other and then expect people to to send their money. And it has to be something that is really thought out and worked on before you start it.
Yeah, I mean, some of these projects, I mean, I know Double Fine was one of the biggest, I guess, asking amounts, but there's a lot that gets started and a lot don't get funded. So I'm imagining there's a lot of planning that needs to go into this. You can't just be like, I need money and please help.
Right. But that's also the great thing about it, because mm-hmm. until the funding is reached, nobody is, you know, has to pay anything. It's only going to be coming out of your account once the goal is reached and the project can be made. And I think that's a great thing about Kickstarter, and the community and the fans, they have the power to make something happen or not. Mm-hmm. They can vote essentially on what gets made and whatnot.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being here. good luck to you on the rest of the campaign. I'm sure it's going to get funded. You still have plenty of time and short ways to go.
Looks really good. So thank you so much for the interview. And I hope to talk to you again soon.
And that's another episode of Sound Radar. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, gr_soundradar, for updates and giveaways. And as always, come back to gamesradar.com for our ongoing video games coverage.